chillin' on a dirt road, laid back swervin' like I'm George Jones. Smoke rollin' out the window and ice cold beer sitting.
Hey, this is All Over the Road with Pirate and Chewbacca. This is show number 29, recorded on June 4th, 2024. Summer is here, and we are back after a few week hiatus. Not too long, Pirate. What do you say?
Let's stretch a little bit. Pirate is back in action. I'm here again.
Yeah. Well, as you know, we will not know. I guess I'm telling you, we got a lot of content to cover today since we took a couple weeks off there. You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, y'all better get a couple cups of coffee ready, because yeah, it's going to be a long one.
Yeah, because, I mean, some of it's going to be political, but some of it will be fun, too. It's not going to just be all political, but, you know, that's just what happened to be what we notice, and it is part of the show. So,
and remember, the name of the show is We Are All Over the Road.
And yes, exactly. So it's not just going to be politics today. So I'm going to go ahead and kick off the first subject here to something that I think you enjoy, Pirate.
Kick it, homeboy. Let's hear it.
Good old cowboy movie. Or
rootin' tootin' cowboy TV show.
I mean, believe it or not, Pirate and I always don't agree when it comes to our movie choices. Like, he's not a sci-fi guy. I am. However, there's one thing we can't agree on. Good old cowboy movie, man.
Oh, man. In Tombstone?
Yeah. What is...
Unforgiven?
What is more America or Americana than a cowboy movie? I mean, think about it. Every foreigner, and I know you ain't been out of the country, but I've been out of the country a lot. They always, John Wayne, you know, cowboy, especially when I was in Japan or when I'm in Mexico. It just... Foreigners think of America as cowboys, so I don't see it any more than American Pie to, you know, have cowboy movies and TV shows. Thank God for that.
Well,
you know?
It's kind of a dying breed in the movie scene.
It's never. I don't think it's ever went like popular in our time. Now in our father's eras, the '50s, the '60s. Oh yeah, man. I mean, TV shows, all that. Because I admittedly,
Hold on there. Bonanza was on TV a hell of a lot when I was a kid.
Well, did you just listen to what I said?
But that was the 1980s and late '70s.
Yeah, but I'm saying not everybody in the '80s, and I got a point on that. Not everybody in the '80s watched those shows. Now, I had seen dozens of Ponderosa,
yeah.
Dozens of Bonanza.
Yeah.
Point being is that in the '50s and sixties. As a young man, that's what you watched. I mean, it was like...
Oh, you're right.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, my love of cowboy movies come from my era, our era, basically. So I'm talking stuff like you mentioned, Unforgiven. I got a list here. What do you think of these? Young Guns.
Good movie.
Yep. Tombstone.
Awesome movie.
Wyatt Earp.
Very great.
3:15 to Yuma.
Nah, it's okay. Average.
Okay. I liked it. Appaloosa.
Very good.
Oh, yeah. Remember that guy had an 8-gauge shotgun?
He did.
Holy crap. When he fired that thing, I jumped.
That's a cannon.
Woo. Okay. Hateful Eight.
Good.
Yeah. That Magnificent Seven.
Good.
Blazing Saddles.
Funny.
Yep. The Outlaw Josie Wales.
That's legendary.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then... You might pick on me on this one, but it does count, and I'll argue with you about it if you say no. Back to the Future Part 3.
Yeah. Yeah, he had chaps on. Yeah. Old Marty McFly.
He went back to 1885, man. No, there
even
was...
Even Doc was there.
Right, well, that's the thing. That was what he was doing in the third movie. He went back to 1885 to rescue Doc. So other than the sci-fi part of time travel, 99% of that movie was a cowboy movie.
Yeah, part of it was in the Western... And even Doc's girlfriend was dressed in the Victorian Western garb.
Well, she was from that era.
She was.
And then he blended in and realized there's no way he can get back to the future because the time machine got damaged, which was the DeLorean. Well, Marty brought back the other DeLorean, or not, was able to bring back instructions to fix DeLorean. Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah, that's a Western movie somewhere.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just, to me, cowboy movies are just part of America. I've got to stay involved in it. I got to stay watching it because it's just, as much as I love a lot of things, it's just, I love a good cowboy movie. How about a couple of these TV shows? Outer Range.
Unbelievably great.
And here's what's funny about this show. You're actually watching a sci-fi show too there, buddy.
Yeah, and yeah. I am intrigued about
you this are? Show. So for someone who's not a sci-fi fan.
You know, I'm intrigued about the unknown that's going on.
Right, here, right. Okay, this show is your fault because I like this show. Longmire.
That's incredibly legendary.
Pirate told me to watch his show. And then I think you threw in the angles, got that chick from Battlestar Galactica. And I'm like, who? And then I look it up and I'm like, oh, shit, the new Starbuck, Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah, Katie Sackhoff.
I like her, man.
She's a good part of the show.
She's, you know what? She is not beautiful.
She's just got that
different
look. She's
just cute, but not cute in a cute way. Just like you said, a different look about her.
A different look to a woman, you know, she's just different, but she has that acting style that she's just kind of sassy, but she gets it done.
Well, and plus, you know, in the reboot Battlestar Galactica, which I first fell in love with her with, I mean, phenomenal. Like I was like, you know, when the reboot came out, I was like, Starbuck's being played by a chick. That was Dirk Benedict. That's going to suck. Blah, blah, blah. Awesome. And then she, you know, you introduced me to Longmire. She played a deputy sheriff.
She did a great job.
Right. And then she's also a Star Wars person. She's a Mandalorian.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, the Mandalorian's so popular right now in Star Wars. Well, that's the general term for the species.
Uh-huh.
She's a Mandalorian.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. She's awesome, too, man.
Well, I mean, she brings a good part to that Longmire show as the little sidekick.
So that was a great show you introduced me to. Now, you haven't watched it yet, but I gave you homework, The Lawman Bass Reeves.
Sure, I'll check it out.
It was a good show. Now, here's another one that might be a little controversial to call it a cowboy show. And it's okay if you don't count it. It's just going to be a difference of opinion. I won't say you're full of crap or anything.
All right. Let it rip.
Yellowstone.
It is.
My argument is it is a modern cowboy show. Granted, it's not the 1800s.
Do you want to know the actual definition of it?
What's that?
It's a ranch opera.
And who works on a ranch? Cowboys.
Yes.
And cowgirls. We got a couple.
But it's more about the ranch life.
Right.
And the political BS that goes on around their ranch.
Right.
Because their land, everybody that has a farm or a ranch, mm-hmm. it's always the land is at jeopardy. Kind of like in Outer Range, his land is at jeopardy.
Right. Right.
And that's what's going on there. It's a ranch opera.
Yes. But phenomenal show.
Oh, yeah. And they're filming the last.
Segment. And then, you know, like usually during the intro credits, I skip it because I don't care about sometimes the intro credits and the music.
Sure.
That is one of those shows. I don't skip the intro credits. I like the music. Oh, yeah.
I like watching the bull jumping in the dirt.
Yeah.
And the oil rigs going up and down, the explosions from the mining. That's all pretty badass. Yeah.
Well, that show, and it's funny, we agreed on that one, which is cool. You know, even if we didn't, that'd be cool too.
No, I agree 100%.
But the great thing about Yellowstone, we did get into what, if you wanted to call a real cowboy movie, 1883. Dude. Yeah. I was skeptical. I'm like, a spinoff show about the Duttons, you know, going out west. And then Sam Elliott shows up.
Oh, he's the ultimate cowboy.
I didn't know Tim McGraw was such a great actor.
He is a cowboy.
I know him as a country guy. And then his wife, Faith Hill, she did good. I'm like, we got two country stars here doing a damn good job acting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, they're pretty good.
And then how about one more here? 1923.
Yeah, it's a
cowboy show.
I mean, I only seen what they've made so far. And
we've only had one season of each of the spinoffs.
I was on the edge of my seat in that show. That was pretty adventurous.
Plus, into my sci-fi world, Han Solo's in it.
Yes. And I like him.
Oh, yeah. Harrison Ford. Well, because he's Indiana Jones, man. And you're an Indiana Jones fan.
I love Indiana Jones. And he's kind of a cowboy.
Oh, yeah. But here's the only movie I saw that didn't work for me. Cowboys versus Aliens.
Yes.
It was off. I didn't hate it.
Does that deserve the button?
Oh, I know what you're talking about here. Let me find it on my board here. Yeah, that one wasn't that good, man. I gave it a C, and that was being nice.
Yeah, I when I rented it one time, I was getting all lathered up. It was going to be some good thing. And once I got into it, I said, this is not what I'm expecting here.
But shows like Outer Range and Back to the Future show that you can put a little sci-fi into it, but still have it work as a cowboy movie.
Yeah, they do have that balance, that yin and yang with
that. Right.
And both of those shows have a lot of the yin and yang.
Yeah.
They'll have a little bit of cowboyism. They'll have a little bit of this mysterious what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially with Outer Range. I know with the
Back to the Future.
I mean, with the time machine. I mean, hell, this hole that's in the Outer Range, that's kind of like a time machine.
Yeah, right. Well, don't spoil too much just in case we don't want to get yelled at. But no, that was...
Yeah,
that was always a good segment. I thought you would enjoy talking a little bit of cowboy.
Unbelievable shows. You guys have to check these shows out that we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we just gave you a list of a bunch of movies. And then, you know what? I meant to make one more point with the movies. What I meant by the modern era, the only old cowboy movies I knew is the spaghetti westerns, of course. Clint Eastwood, man. Guy's freaking awesome. You know,
yeah.
But I got more into cowboy movies when we were teenagers with those movies I just listed. And then I backtracked and said, well, let me start watching a little bit of the old ones. But I remember Ponderosa and Bonanza were pretty dry. And the reason why I know this is to this day, my barber still plays that on the TV all the time. So when Al is there, and that's okay. I know we don't do the name dropping thing, but y'all have no idea who I was. When I was there, Bonanza or Ponderosa will be on. So I've seen several episodes and I'm like, yeah, this is okay. Like my dad would enjoy the show, but I think it's a little dry.
My dad likes Little House on the Prairie. I mean, that's considered a Western show. It was about Western
frontiers. It was, but it wasn't about gunning people and shooting and arresting and everything. It was just about family living on the farm. Do
you
remember
when you was a kid in the 70s, Grizzly Adams?
Of course. Watched all those shows.
That's another show.
I was just a little kid, but I do remember those shows.
I used to watch that. How about Waltons, The Waltons Family?
Never actually seen it. I know the show. I had never seen it. I even know the little thing at the end. Good night, John Boy.
How about Dallas? Dallas was kind of like Yellowstone.
My parents wouldn't let me watch it.
Really?
No, they thought it was too controversial. It was on late. It was on at 10 p.m.
Oh, okay.
And my mom always put me in bed at 8.
Oh, boy.
She only made exception with a few TV shows, but... No, I wasn't allowed to watch Dallas.
Well, you were up at 8 at least to see the Dukes of Hazzard.
We all watched the Dukes of Hazzard together, of course. The A-Team, you know, watched the A-Team. A little cheesy, but fun. And Michael Landon's Highway to Heaven. We loved watching Highway to Heaven. It was a wonderful show. It was just about him as an angel helping people.
Sure.
How about Knight Rider, man?
Knight Rider was good. How about B.J. McKay and his best friend Bear? Yes,
definitely watch that. Some of the big shows in the 80s I never really watched was The Fall Guy.
Oh, okay, I watched it.
I never watched that.
That was Lee Majors.
Right, it was The Bionic Man.
Yeah, and then, he was pretty kick-ass.
Yeah, I never really watched that show. And then a lot of those late like dramas, like you said, it was too late on anyways.
Like Knots Landing.
I couldn't watch that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but there was, so as much as I love the 80s, there was a lot of stuff I skipped, and nor do I have any interest to watch it. You know, there's enough to watch. Because you always get told, oh, you got to watch this. Like one of the old shows I have on my list to get around to eventually is MASH. I was told as an adult, I would love it. I remember as a kid, I was bored off my mind. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't care. It seemed like a bunch of people in a field hospital talking and stitching people together. That's my memory of MASH.
I watched it, a lot of it. And I think the only reason I watched this, because back in the day, there was like,
nothing else on.
There was nothing else on. Right, yeah. You had no choice.
Well, man. My old man had to control the TV when he was in the house, so
we watched whatever was on TV.
We watched what he wanted to watch.
Either that or wherever my black and white Sears TV set
I had to go to the other TV if I wanted to watch what I wanted to watch.
TV rabbit ears only picked up that channel that got MASH. That's what I was watching. Because who wanted to watch like squiggly lines, The Joker's Wild or
Price is Right?
You know,
that's why I had a computer and an Atari back then. I can go game.
Oh.
I did that too. So
Some people were lucky to have those things.
I earned it. I cut grass.
There you go.
Actually, the Atari came via my dad won a sweepstake, paid $0 for it. The computer, my grandmother actually bought it because I know my parents couldn't afford it.
Oh, wow.
My grandmother actually bought the computer.
That was nice.
The Commodore 64. Remember that thing?
Oh, yeah. I seen them in school.
They were great computers.
Yes, nice, sir.
Anyways, we'll be back.
Hello, everybody. This is This Day in History for June 4th, 2024.
Yeah, I got the date right this time.
Thank God. So today was the 1940 Dunkirk evacuation had ended.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, following a massive rescue effort that included many civilian English boats.
Mm-hmm.
With the withdrawal of other Allied troops at the Dunkirk in France.
Wow. Did you see that movie?
Yes, I did.
It's kind of dry, but it was good.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I liked it.
It's more drama, than fighting, but, you know, still good.
Yeah, and you know, all them guys were trapped in Dunkirk. And, of course, you know, at the time in the 1940s.
That was the first attempt from the Brits to attack Europe, and it failed miserably. And
the Brits were way under airplaned, way under shipped, way under everything, and had spent and were exhausted of a lot of supplies. And of course, yep, it was difficult to.
And we weren't involved.
No, we weren't in there yet. And they had 300,000 soldiers that they saved their lives.
Ooh, boy! What a fleet of boats to save that many.
Can you imagine if they didn't?
Wow. Well, they were going to be needed again later.
Yes. 1984.
Real quick, okay. Related to that, since it's not this day in history, but it's coming in 2 days, is D-Day, man.
Yes, June 6th.
So a lot of those chaps who made it out of there on Dunkirk, they're going to go back there, but this time they're going to get it done right.
They returned, yes.
Yeah. Anyways.
1984, American musician Bruce Springsteen released Born in the USA.
I hate that song.
Which became one of his defining works.
Yeah.
I mean, the song's okay. I mean, I could do without his political rants and views.
Yeah, well, I told you off camera, and I'll share it here. The only reason why I hated that song is because I couldn't sing it. I wasn't born in the USA.
I know.
I was born in Japan.
Yeah, you'd have to say, born in the Japan.
or as in that show, Shogun, they called it The Japans.
The Japans.
Yeah.
1970, the Kingdom of Tonga. They achieved their independence with the British Commonwealth.
Oh, another country to break away.
Yeah, a lot of them broke away from the British Commonwealth.
Well, they just couldn't hold control over them. They never really could, but it was this false sense of we're expanding the empire, you know?
Yeah, they didn't do a good job.
No, well, they ruled for
A good few centuries. A good centuries, yeah.
A few centuries. They did a good job. Them and France, man.
Yeah, for some
time. I mean, shit, Britain was in India for decades, man, which is crazy. People are like, why do Indians speak like a kind of messed up English? But, you know, where did they get that from?
Well, they did a good job in the sense that they actually seeked out other properties across the world and other countries.
But they conquered.
They conquered.
Hey, think about it. In our current history, the Brits try to be the Romans.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Yeah. 1937, the world's first... Yeah, I call them buggies, but people call them shopping carts.
1937.
These, I don't know which word people use, but down here in Florida, they call them buggies.
Yeah, call them buggies.
Here, go get your buggy. They were introduced at the Humpty Dumpty grocery stores in Oklahoma City.
Wow. Humpty Dumpty.
Humpty Dumpty was an egg. It sat on the wall.
Yeah, that's funny.
Also, 1919, the 19th Amendment of the Constitution was ratified, which gave...
It end whipping suffrage.
Yep. Women the right to vote.
Yeah.
So y'all women get out there and vote this year.
Yeah.
When it comes time for our local and state and presidential election, please vote.
Federal,
yeah, that too. Government,
state. Same thing, but just more to it because you pick congressmen, you know, you pick senators, you know.
We need you to vote at all levels.
It's important.
People sometimes only vote when there's a presidential, but you really need to get out there for the local and city stuff and the state stuff.
Right.
Yeah. 1783, Joseph Mikhail and Jacques-Étienne Montgolfier launched a uncrewed hot air balloon. And this was the first public demonstration of the discovery that hot air in a large lightweight bag rises in the air.
Mm.
So before 1783,
nobody knew
that if you put hot air in a bag, it would rise up.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. So now we're moving on to the birthdays. Happy birthday to you. 1975, Angelina Jolie.
Mm. Beautiful.
American actress, daughter of John Voight.
Yep. She's hot.
Yeah, and she was part of that Lara Croft, Tomb Raider. Yeah, Lara Croft. Yeah.
Yeah.
And 1738, King George III.
Mm-hmm.
He was, it's his birthday, and he was the king of England and Ireland at one point.
Oh, wait a minute. This was the king that we broke away from.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And 1966, Cecilia Bertoli. She was an Italian opera singer. She's still alive. That's her birthday today. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And Evan Lysacek, 1985, American figure skater, gold medalist in the Olympics, figure skating in the 2010 Olympics.
Oh, never heard of him before.
Yeah, well, they showed a picture of him. He was skating away, but it's his birthday. So that is this day in history. Thank you very much.
The Trump trial found guilty on what, 36 parts, 39? I don't know.
34 felonious charges.
34 felon counts. Yeah. And I was expecting this, Pirate. I hate to say this, the cynic in me, you know, because the whole trial, we were told, I don't disagree with what I'm about to say here, but we were told he shouldn't even be there, that these were misdemeanors that expired. They went beyond the statute limitation. Somehow they are able to convert it into felonies on a federal level. So we do have different government systems for a reason. This is done in the city of New York. How did this turn into what gave the city of New York the authority to enforce federal law? That is where the conspiracy comes in, that Joe Biden is involved in this, and it's going through the line to basically keep Trump out of the White House again, off the campaign trail, and possibly put into jail.
Yeah.
This is loco, man. I mean, I expected a guilty verdict, but for it to go this far, I did not think it would go this far. And we're not even done.
No, and the fact is, folks, there was no real crime here.
I don't even understand what the crime was. I've heard the talking heads try to explain it. I mean, it was something about hush money and Stormy Daniels, but she had an NDA, so she violated her NDA. Turns out she owes him like $400,000. It's just no one understands this.
Yeah, and America lost something it can never get back. And of course, with no reversal or appeal, and it can't erase the ugly stain that we have on our judicial system.
I know what you mean, but just to clarify, he can't appeal this case. But I understood what you meant there.
You cannot have anything erase what just happened.
Exactly.
And this is a big stain on the justice
system,
and justice failed the people, Chewy.
Oh yeah,
and the conviction of this,
it was a whole setup.
Yes, it's a setup. And the conviction of this former Trump, President Trump, in that Manhattan courtroom.
I still call him President Trump.
Yeah, yeah. Former, whatever. It was impartial and preordained.
Mm-hmm.
This was premeditated, preordained.
No, yeah, it was. No, it wasn't partial.
Yeah.
And that's the word.
And there, you know, the problem is, there was no real crime, but prosecutors simply invented a crime.
That, and there is no victims in this.
No.
There is zero. Just like previous with the land deal that the city of New York got him on, which he lost the case to that too. There was no victims. Like nobody, none of the banks came out. I know I'm veering off a second, but it's a parallel. There was no victims. The bank said they were paid back fully. Yet, but they went after him because they said he inflated his value of, but he can't do that. He doesn't have, he's not the property manager.
No.
You know, so going into this case, it's another one of those that was just, it just reeks of setup is what it does.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me get in the left lane here for a second. This is all about a bookkeeping error entry magically morphed from an expired misdemeanor into an active felony.
So that's okay. The misdemeanor part I covered earlier, I didn't know about the booking part of it.
Well, a lot of it was about different checks written, different.
By Michael Cohen, a known liar and perjurer who spent time in jail already.
Yes.
They went off of his testimony.
And here's another point I want to make here, Chewy. Trump was never previously accused of any of these alleged felonious conducts, which is definitely a violation of the Sixth Amendment, because you have to be accused of a crime in order to be tried.
Right.
And when was he ever arrested for a crime?
Well, that too. Well, here's the silver lining in this dark cloud. They're pretty confident the appeals court, which is way different from a regular court, is going to identify some of those things you said. His other play is the Supreme Court could come in and overrule the ruling.
Yes, yes.
Which I hope can happen. But here's my question to you. They're bold enough now to throw this guy in jail. What do you think happens to this country? Because the sentencing is next month.
People like me, you, any other ordinary Joe can have the same thing that happened to Trump happen to us.
Exactly.
With no plausible evidence ever that we committed crimes and no legal basis for us to be indicted.
I know. But get back to my question. What does this country do if they actually put a former president in jail over this? I see very dark times ahead. I am not advocating violence. I'm not saying let's start the Pirate and Chewbacca militia. We're forming it right now. Boom. No. But I'm saying that this country is already teetering on how we're so split about our ideas, about our morality, about our religion, about our politics. You know, there's so many things that we're divided on. This scares me that a uniparty, I'm going to call it the uniparty, I'm not just going to pick on the Democrats on this one, the uniparty will allow this to go this far to put a president in jail over charges that can't even be explained, over expired misdemeanors, because they're scared of him being president again. That's what this is about.
Well, they're scared of losing. They cannot let go of power.
But they won't let go of power, but who are they losing to? Joe Biden is an effing disaster.
He's a terrible disaster.
I mean, he cannot put two sentences together, yet they're going to sentence Trump to jail. I am blown away by this, man.
Well, in the fact that this guy, Alvin Bragg, he actually had a scheme, and he even announced to the media that he was going to exploit the pathological liar and convicted perjurer as his star witness, who was Cohen.
Oh, amazing.
And Cohen lied to the jury.
Yeah, exactly. During this trial, it was hard to follow it because I didn't understand it. Plus, it wasn't televised, so you basically got the transcripts.
Yes.
He was caught by the Trump's lawyers lying.
Yes, and the problem with that is he has no meaning about the truth, and he was very incapable of distinguishing what was reality and what was fantasy.
You ready for my conspiracy theory hat on this, Pirate?
Go ahead.
The jury were either paid off or threatened.
Yes, they were both.
I guarantee you.
I guarantee.
Because their decision was unanimous on all counts. Not even, like, sometimes you can get charged for a few counts and then a few you don't. Every single count they found them guilty on. And I know they wanted to get out of there. I knew they didn't want to be there. But they talk about the rigged part again, that it's a Democrat city. You know, they're not big on Trump. And they're starting to, some of them, like the Bronx thing a couple weeks ago.
And in New Jersey.
Yeah. However, it's still very, very blue up there.
Sure.
And that was one of Trump's points, that he's not going to get a fair trial in this. But the whole thing reeks of unfair. And what pisses me off, the Democrats right now, they're gloating over this.
Oh, yeah.
This is great.
This is a trophy time.
Yeah, yet ignoring the disaster we have as president right now. I get you don't like Trump's personality, his mean tweets, and being abrasive and everything. But as we were talking about in show prep, man, despite his challenges that the swamp was throwing at him, the economy in the world was in a lot better place.
Oh, yeah. We had great peace, world peace.
I mean, under whose watch did Russia attach Ukraine? Oh, Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Under whose watch did Hamas murder 1,700 Jewish civilians at a concert, at a festival?
Joe Biden.
Hmm. Who is threatening Taiwan again? You know, why? China. Why?
Joe Biden.
Why? And what is he doing about it?
Not much at all, man. How about this?
You're exactly right.
How about the our border? I mean, our border was.
And they were border deniers. When it first started happening, after he changed the executive orders, they denied that it was a problem until those people were shipped to those cities and they started complaining about it.
Yeah. And so now he's got some border bill he's fixing to sign. You hear about that?
He's going to do some kind of executive order.
Yes.
Which he argued a few months ago he needed a new law for.
Sure.
Because he came in and he changed something like 70-something odd executive orders, not all dealing with the border, but a lot of things, on his day one in the White House. So when they were complaining that they needed a border bill, they actually got called out and says, you don't need more money. You don't need new laws. You changed them day one. Go back and start enforcing those again. All this is, I don't know the details of this new border EO coming from them. It's a little bit of pandering. That people are not going to buy into. Basically going to make them process them now or something. Before, the Border Patrol would let them go and they scurry off and they end up wherever they end up. The idea now is that they're going to stop that and process them. So at least you have ID of some sort, which was scary because I saw some statistic. They said something like 5 million people under Joe Biden have snuck in the border. And we're not just talking Latino people here. We're talking Chinese, Russians, Ukrainians, people from all over the world.
Yep. They're coming to Haiti.
It's scary. It's scary to think. You're going to tell me all these are hard working people. The conspiracy theory is, again, conspiracy theory hat, especially with the Chinese young men. They're infiltrators of the Chinese government, man. They're setting up cells within our own country. So it won't even be about, what if this country seriously puts a president to jail over bullshit charges? What happens when one of these sleeper cells get activated? It won't be us versus us. It'll be us versus us and us versus some foreigner that should have never even been here because the border was wide open and they snuck right in.
Yep.
Basically laughing at us, laughing at Joe Biden.
Oh, we're a big laughing stock.
We are.
And, you know,
we're convicting a former president.
I want to jump back on to what we were talking about originally. Is here's a question to ask, and let's converse about it. Listeners.
Converse.
Converse, yeah. That's our favorite word here. That is the word of the day, by the way. We were talking earlier that is the word of the day, converse.
A little inside joke from earlier.
So why convict Trump? That is the question, Chewy.
To keep them out of the White House,
plain and
simple.
And what is the motive behind their wicked idealism to convict them?
When it all comes down to one word I can give you, it's called evil.
Evil. That's what it is. It's wicked and evil.
Right.
Because they cannot let go, and they cannot let go of their power.
Well, I'm going to throw a sci-fi reference on you. It's kind of like what Obi-Wan said about his former friend Darth Vader to Luke Skywalker when he was explaining to him. He's more machine now than man, twisted and evil.
Yeah, yeah. And the fear. And
that's what it is, twisted.
It's twisted.
And evil.
It's twisted evil. And the fear is that they fear him and they fear what they'll lose.
Yeah, that's about holding power. But their hyperbole is, if Trump becomes president, he's going to be a dictator. Well, what kind of dictator left the White House last time? If he was such the dictator, Joe Biden wouldn't even be president right now.
That's just words being thrown around.
Well, all these are words, but it's scary and dangerous to think this way because it scares you, kind of like the COVID thing we're going to talk about later. It gets into your head, and there are some, and you know what? I don't doubt some people believe Joe Biden is a good guy. I don't doubt that some people believe, yeah, we know he's corrupt, but he's better than Trump. So they're almost willing to excuse the state of the country and the world right now because Trump makes them very uncomfortable. That is a scary, dangerous path to go down with that kind of mentality.
Well, and a dictator, let's think about, let's name a few dictators in the world. We got Kim Jong-un. Mm. What goes on in that country?
Yeah, it's kind of mysterious since they're communists.
Yeah. Well, how about Putin?
He is practically a dictator. Yes. He used the law, just like Hitler,
yep,
to keep himself into power.
Yep. Let's talk about Hitler.
Oh, good old Adolf.
Yeah. I mean, hell, he was a dictator.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he ran for many, many years as
Here's
a
Here's the irony, though. He was elected into the position.
Oh, yeah.
People voted for him.
Yeah.
And he turned the country into Jew haters, which is like, whoa, how did he do that?
They used that socialism medicine in the head to
promise them a bunch of stuff.
Promise them and brainwash them into believing.
Well, how about back to Russia? How about Putin's predecessor? Joseph Stalin
was another one.
And Leningrad.
Yes. That's terrible.
You know, Adolf takes a lot of shit, which he deservingly so, for World War II. The people that get excused and they don't hear much about is Stalin and Mao Zedong.
That's another one.
Who killed more of their own people combined compared to the number of deaths that happened in Europe, which is crazy. I mean, because World War II is a popular war. At least it is with me. I'm fascinated with the war. However, Stalin and Mao killed way more of their people than the deaths in Europe. But Adolf takes all the shit for some reason. You know?
It's well, because like, I think it just affected the European area more. Well,
it's more like, oh, this is just happening in your own country, so it's your problem.
Yeah,
it just you can say not my problem.
It just happened in Russia.
But so it's still a travesty.
It was still, yeah. I mean, it's a lot of people that he killed there.
Well, and that's one of the questions is, so the to me, or a statement I'm going to say, to me, the people that are calling Trump a dictator are setting up their own party to be dictators, which is ironic.
Yeah, it's a play on words, I think.
Because this whole case, this whole segment we're talking about is, like what you said, they can go after Trump, they can go after us. And Trump said that too, and he's right. And we don't have the resources and the lawyers and the money
to
battle that, and he still lost. He still lost.
As rich as he is, he still
lost.
You know, you thought maybe he could buy his way out of this.
No, I never thought he could buy his way out of this. That's putting it wrong. That's saying paying off judges and stuff, paying off jurors.
Well, what I'm saying is with enough lawyers.
Even though I said it earlier.
Well, yeah. I'm not meaning it that way. But
meaning he has the funds to get the best lawyers.
He has the clout to get the best people in there.
Right.
And maybe fight that thing like a machine.
And they still lost.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scary.
And, you know, I mean,
it's that whole be careful what you ask for. You may just get it. And to me, the uniparty is the problem. More in particular, the Democrats are the problem. Republicans are a bunch of pussies.
They are.
The Democrats are the ones that are running the show. And what they want for this country, a lot of people just don't agree with anymore. It could end up in secession. It could end up in a civil war. Who knows? And that's just talking our country. We just brought up all those examples about what's happening in the world. You know, we're on the brink of World War III, buddy. And that is not scary words. And Russia's pissed because they just found out some of these missiles that they were attacked with by Ukraine came via us.
Yes.
You know, it's
these guys are playing with a grenade that they pulled the pin out of already.
Oh, my God.
They have already pulled the pin out of the grenade and they're holding it in their hand.
And I thought we could be like our fathers when we get in our 50s, where our career's winding down a little bit, but we're still going, and then we can eventually retire. Man, I don't see that happening, dude. I hate to be a negative Nancy here, but if these things blow up into the way we've been talking about,
it's going to make the world very...
There ain't no retirement, buddy.
Very difficult place
to live. Going to turn into survival. And I don't mean like Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome kind of shit. I'm just meaning it's going to be harder to find jobs. You can end up with some kind of major depression.
Businesses might have to close.
Well, a lot of businesses admitted they cannot handle another 4 years of Joe Biden. They're being killed.
I'll tell you what, me being a businessman myself, it's been a tough, you know, I've been creative over the last many years trying to keep things going.
Yeah.
And I'm still always on the hunt for different forms of revenue to keep my business open. But in the end, every month, at the end of the month, there's hell of a lot left over.
There's not a lot left over.
No, you pay your bills and maybe hope you paid all of them.
Right. And we were talking about this off mic here is we're basically living with the basics now. We still have a roof over our head. Thank God we still have air condition. We have food. We've got Netflix. But it's not like you and I can afford to go take an Alaskan cruise or go to Europe or anything like that. No. Don't have that.
How about buy a new vehicle?
No, hell no, that would scare me.
Yeah.
That would absolutely scare me if I had to go buy a new car.
Would you like a $700 or $800 a month car payment, Chewy?
No. And that's what scares me.
That's what they want you to have.
Oh yeah. Yeah, because my last car, I paid it off 5 years ago. You know, my payments were modest $350 a month.
Those are long gone, those man. Are
long gone.
$200, $300 car payments is long gone.
I know. Scary.
Yeah. You're looking at maybe $8,000 to $1,000 a month now for
right. And then you got to get full coverage insurance because it's a new car.
And that's sky high.
Yeah, you're financing it, so it's technically not your car yet. So the insurance makes sure you got everything covered on it. So that, right, that goes sky high. Count my blessings. I work from home, man. I feel bad for people who are on the road and got gas and get insurance and all. I mean, I have insurance, but, you know, not full coverage. I don't know, man. It's this whole trial scares me because I'm like, where does this go?
You know, he's going back for sentencing in July.
We'll see what happens. I think they have the balls to throw him in jail.
Yeah,
I really do. I don't believe in this house arrest stuff. And that's another play on tactics here. They put them on house arrest. Still can't campaign. So that means people might start losing interest in Trump. And that guarantees a Biden presidency.
This is what this is all about.
Oh, yeah.
This is definitely what this is all about, folks.
Well, let's get off this subject because it's pretty negative. But we had to bring it up and just give you our opinion on it. It's just be prepared, folks. Even if you say we're full of crap, be prepared. Remember those words.
Yeehaw! Florida Man News is back once again. The news that you all want to hear.
My favorite part of the show.
Yeah, Chewy's been here with his hands going, oh boy, when's it coming? When's it coming?
Yep. I'm happy and sad at the same time. To hear about the state of our state.
Well, we got some good news today. Here we go. Okay, Florida man sentenced for allegedly robberies, shootings, while dressed as a police officer.
Being a fake cop.
Yep. An Arcadia man was sentenced Friday for allegedly committing multiple crimes while dressed as a police officer, along with 8 other co-conspirators.
Wow.
Darius Hudson was sentenced to 39 years in Fed prison.
Dang, they gave him 39 years?
Might as well throw one more in, make it even.
Wow, man. Dang.
The group allegedly conspired to commit armed robberies throughout Pasco, Polk, and Lee and Hillsborough counties.
You mean conspired?
Yeah, that too.
You said conspired.
That bad, yeah. That's the Dover way of saying things. The U.S. Attorney's Office has said that Hudson and other members of the group allegedly impersonated the law enforcement officers and drove a black SUV, kind of like how they drive around in those black Suburbans, you know?
Yeah.
Tinted windows and all that stuff with lights on it.
Yep.
And they also, when they went into the banks, they handcuffed their victims with zip ties.
Wow.
Something else, huh?
Man, they're kind
of
mean.
Yeah, they're the real deal here. Hudson was the last of the co-conspirators to be sentenced. So he's sentenced.
39 years.
Florida man, 30 years old, sets himself on fire inside a local Plant City Public store.
I heard about this one. Why? If you're going to commit suicide, do it at your house.
Yeah, man. I got a barbecue grill at home. I could fire it up. Just jump in that son of a gun.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not. Yeah.
We got the fire pit. He could try to like get down there and jump in the
fire. Yeah, just jump in the fire pit. Sure. So what is his reasoning? I can't wait to hear this.
I don't know if we're going to get it here, but here we go. 30-year-old man is in critical condition after police.
Yeah, no shit. He's in critical condition.
After police said he set himself ablaze inside a Plant City Publix store Wednesday evening. Mm-hmm. Shortly after 6:30 p.m., Plant City police were called to a disturbance at the Publix in Walden Woods Shopping Plaza.
Uh-huh.
If you know where that's at, yep. I do.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And in that store, actually visited many times. A caller told police that the man had set himself on fire inside the store, and, of course, several people had rushed to the man's aid and put out the flames.
Wow.
He was then rushed to a local hospital.
He still sounds a little crazy.
Oh, yeah. And we got a Florida man arrested for dumping tires and shooting an alligator in Orlando, Florida.
Well, he had to get rid of some trash, and a gator attacked him, so he shot the gator in the head.
Maybe he thought one of them tires was one of them old tires, the Goodyear Gatorbacks.
Yeah. Poor gator.
Yeah. So a Florida man is facing charges after ossifers say that he shot an alligator while illegally dumping tires.
Yeah, you can't just shoot an alligator. Well,
the officers were patrolling the area of this private property where they previously found thousands and thousands of dumped tires.
Mm.
So they've probably been scoping it out, seeing who's doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
So when the man had entered the property, he decided that he would start shooting this alligator from the window of his truck.
Wow.
So he pulled up, rolled the window down. I see a gator over there. Shot this alligator.
Poor alligator.
Yeah, wasn't doing nothing wrong.
All right.
And so then, according to the FWC, they arrived and promptly arrested the man for tire dumping and attempting to take the alligator. He shot and tried to take the alligator. And
He wanted some meat and skin.
Mm-hmm, and he was operating an unregistered vehicle.
Ah, nice.
Driving while in possession of an open container. So he's really a Florida man.
Oh, yeah. Dude, big old Florida redneck
dude,
here.
Dude, he's Florida man all day long.
Bet you he was missing a couple teeth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think one of his buttons on his bib overall was unbuttoned?
Probably. Yeah, he's wearing a straw hat, too.
Did it have a hole in the straw hat?
Yeah.
Did he have a piece of grass hanging out his mouth?
Yeah, too. Yeah, the whole look. Yeah, we got the whole look going here for a redneck.
Oh, man. So it's a third-degree felony, folks, to kill, capture, or possess an alligator.
Yeah, just can't go shooting an alligator in Florida, man.
They do have hunting season, so. I mean,
it's our state lizard. Leave them alone.
And by the way, there is a hunting season.
There is a hunting season.
It's like from November up until the winter time. I think it's like January.
Yeah, and you still have limitations on how many you can shoot.
You have to get a license. You're only allowed to bag two alligators a year.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yep. So let's move on to the next here. Florida man accused of destroying nearly $100,000 worth of automated license plate readers.
216 barrels of rum.
35-year-old Eric Fieldler. He's accused of causing significant damage lately. Automated license plate readers have been popping up all over the place in Seminole County on these poles. And sheriffs had spotted Fedler exiting his vehicle and dismantling the ALPRs, as they're called, with a cordless drill.
then throwing them and shattering the solar panels and removing the wiring.
He's very innovative.
The readers are about $4,000 each.
Ooh.
And there were about 22 readers damaged at about 90 grand. And of course they asked Fadler, why did you do this? And they said he did not state why he damaged the readers.
No story.
The readers are used as a critical investigative tool for the sheriffs.
Right.
Yeah. So that is Florida Man News.
News items in pop culture. So quick segments here. Just barrel through them. Joe Biden did agree to finally debate Donald Trump. And he put together a 15-second clip that he put on TikTok, which he's banning, by the way, which is funny. Well, the experts noticed there was 5 splices in the 15-second video. So basically, he had plenty of takes to just film a 15-second speech. Maybe it could have been longer, but here's what our president had to say.
2 debates to me in 2020. Since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays.
Can't wait for this debate if it happens.
What's that music playing in the background, by the way?
That was part of his pep talk.
Oh, that's his pep talk music?
His pep talk.
Oh, music. He's really badass, ain't he?
Yeah. Well, if the debates happen, but I think Joe's screwed if a debate actually happens. I mean, it's just going to be
all day long.
Yeah. Anyways,
how is he going to hold a sentence or answer a question? He'll answer a question with the wrong answer.
It's like what I said earlier, you know, the one president's about to get sentenced, the other one can't complete a sentence.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. You're right.
So how about this one here? Dr. Anthony Fauci said in a congressional testimony that he reviewed no scientific evidence behind specific recommendations for masking children or maintaining a 6-foot distancing law. He admitted to making it up, but he also tried to argue that the unvaxxed, you and I proudly, are the ones that receive the most deaths. Yet, he made that up, dude.
Yeah.
There's more people who died that were vaxxed versus the unvaxxed. So what is truthful that comes out of this guy's mouth anymore? I mean, he made up 6-foot distancing. You know what that did to people? How about essential businesses only are going to be open? If you're not essential, you're not being open. What gives the government a right to pick what's essential and not essential? The schools got shut down. You know, the one-way aisles at the grocery store. How freaking stupid was it? We listened to this guy, and now he's telling us, and through his transcripts being busted, basically, with his own correspondence, that he made all this stuff up.
Yeah, and why aren't these people having to answer to the public and pay for these?
Well, he went in front of a congressional hearing, that can refer criminal charges, if they wanted to the DOJ. Who runs the DOJ right now?
Biden and his folks.
There you go.
Yep.
Yet he still got up there and lied his ass off. They hit him on gain of function research. They hit him on the lab leak. The whole time, the guy was just in denial.
So, you know, maybe this might go somewhere, or maybe it could hold up long enough till after the election. But the problem is what the big deal is with Fauci is. All the rhetoric that he spit at us and all the lies and all.
Exactly. But what about the people who believed him and still believe him to this day?
And the people that were brainwashed by him. And you know, he's not even elected official is the crazy thing about this.
No, he's appointed.
He's appointed.
And he hasn't seen a patient in years.
And he makes a lot of damn money for his job.
Highest paid federal worker. Yes. And he's retired now.
Yes.
He's got a golden parachute retirement.
Yeah, no matter
the
what
guy, the guy is,
him.
Even though he got stressed out and hauled in front of Congress yesterday, he's living the good life right now, man.
Oh,
he is kicking back, guaranteed retirement, Ain't got to worry about nothing. House is probably paid off, you know, whatever. He's got no worries because there hasn't been any consequences to him.
No, there's no consequences. What about those guys that own those workout gyms in California that had to shut down because of him?
How about they arrested a guy in California for surfing by himself?
Yes.
How about holy fucking shit.
How about all those folks that had the barber shops and nail parlors and all that?
They because they weren't essential.
They had to shut down.
They had to shut down and almost went out of business.
How about half of the restaurants that had to shut down that never made it back?
Joe Rogan, famous podcaster, of course, moved out of California because of that. He said something like, because he lived in L.A., he said something like 79% of the restaurants that shut down did not come back in L.A. And it turned into basically bum holes. Basically, bums lived on all up and down the street because no one's going to mess with them because there's no customer traffic.
Yeah, they're on a private property.
Yeah, well, they're on, but you think a bum cares about that, but it doesn't matter. It's private property to somebody, but it's not an active business anymore.
Yeah, what I mean is it's just a property that they're hanging out on.
Yeah, nothing's
just
happening.
Like, just like around here, we had a lot of that at one point. There were a lot of vacant properties that and when you do see a vacant property, there's always homeless.
Right. So, yeah, I think that son of a bitch should go to jail. I think he absolutely lied about the things that he said he just made up.
Well, it affected people's lives.
Mental health is problems these days. Drug use is up because we were locked down way longer than we should have been. 2 weeks to slow the spread. Some can argue that was Trump. Where do you think he got that advice from? Burks and Fauci. They came up with 2 weeks to slow the spread. 2 weeks turned into 2.5 months for us. Thank God that was long enough for me. But look how many of the other states continued it well past us. That's why this state got so popular. People were like, fuck this. I'm moving to Florida. I'm moving to Texas. You know,
well, everybody interpret things different, and certain people could see through the smoke and fog quicker.
Well, in the fall of 2020, I believe, Joe Rogan flew to Austin to scout it out because he was sick of the lockdowns. Think about it. Fall of 2020, we're already open in our state.
Oh, yeah.
Out there, it was still very limited. Masks, the whole nine yards, right? He said it was so crazy for him to walk into a restaurant, A, have it be opened, B, you didn't have to wear the mask. They wore their masks, and he asked the hostess, he noticed the patronage. Hardly anybody was wearing a mask. There were a few folks, and that's fine. Wear it because you want to wear it. Don't wear it because you have to.
Yeah.
He said his two girls asked him immediately, Daddy, can we take these off? And he said, yeah. And he was blown away. Because out in California, No.
They were brainwashed.
First of all, you're not going to go into a restaurant. They still had takeout. That's what helped some of the restaurants survive. They still had takeout. But they actually went to a restaurant, sat down. It was an awesome experience for them. So someone like Fauci that is still living the good life, I believe in karma, and that's all we can do because the justice system ain't going to do anything about it.
Not right now.
No. I want to hear the people who are fans of Fauci defend him.
Well, at this juncture, nothing's really going to happen to him, I don't think, because, like you said, it's a Biden influenced.
It's a two tier justice system.
Yep.
Hunter's in a trial right now for a gun violation. Do you think anything's going to stick?
Nothing's going to stick.
And even if it does stick, his dad's going to pardon him. So it's a moot point. This
right
whole
away.
Thing is just theater for Hunter Biden. Whereas Trump, they put him through the things. But
well, here's the thing too: once you're tried, you can't be tried again for the same crime.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's if the appeals court goes through, but we'll see. How about this one here? Another doozy from our federal government. $7.5 billion later, the Biden administration has only built 7 EV charging stations. Where's the money going? And this is, of course, for our electric car people.
Yeah, I really don't care about electric cars anymore.
But did you hear the subject?
Yeah, they only built the 7 chargers.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
For $7.5 billion?
Nah, it's all corrupt, dude. Shit's corrupt.
There you go.
I don't even believe in this shit anymore, this electric cars.
Yeah. Yeah. You got a couple here to share. What you got?
Yeah.
What you got there, Pirate?
Well, let's start with one here. The Trump had participated in the UFC 302, and he received a Thunderous standing ovation.
Thunderous.
Yes.
I saw the footage.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah, Trump walked into the arena with UFC President Dana White. He stopped for a second to greet comedian Theo Von, shook the hand of some fans, and then turned around, waved at the crowd.
Place went nuts.
The place went out of control.
Joe Rogan was there because he does ringside commentary. He's on the video. You can hear him saying, wow, this is awesome.
Despite his convictions, the people still support him.
Right.
Right. And,
amazing.
You know, that's what's amazing about that. And, man, it's just, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
Here's another thing. The Trump verdict, puts the U.S. among the infamous countries that prosecuted opposition leaders.
Yeah. Never it's happened in this country before. That's the kind of shit you'd hear in banana republics and communist countries.
It puts us in line with, remember, the chief political rival of Vladimir Putin, Alexei Navalny, the guy that died this year.
Yeah, he was poisoned.
Yeah, somehow, someway, he was poisoned. Remember, he was in the prison, and then he was dead. And I reported on that, remember?
Yeah, kind of. Okay, cool.
How about the Hong Kong? They have 14 opposition figures.
Wow.
They've all been convicted of conspiring to subvert state power there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, China reneged on their promise to Hong Kong. They weren't supposed to start taking over till 2050. They decided to go in early, and it caused a lot of violence, riots, political opposition, because basically China didn't go on their word, and they strong-armed the citizens of Hong Kong to submit to the communist rule.
Yeah, they have former lawmakers, Lung Kung Kong, Lam Chuk Ting.
And how about Ching Ching Chong?
Helena Wong, that was a normal name, and Raymond Chan.
Mm-hmm.
They were, and also many dozen other defendants, they are facing life in prison.
Yeah, man.
And they're going to be sentenced later this year.
Can't go against the Chai Coms.
Over being the opposition party.
Yeah.
In India, the Prime Minister Modi is using the courts to prevent his main rival, Arvind Kejriwal.
Nah, whatever.
He's the chief minister of capital Delhi, and he's running up against Modi.
Okay.
And they're trying to... they have him in detention, and they're trying to get him for political conspiracy.
Oh, I'm trying to bring him up on some charges, huh?
Yeah, and they arrested him recently.
Wow.
In corruption related to the liquor policy of Delhi.
Dang.
And then in Brazil, Luis Ignacio Lula da Silva, he won re-election after leaving prison due to the country's Supreme Court nullifying his conviction of money laundering and corrupt charges.
Uh-huh.
But he was arrested again as part of a Operation Car Wash, allegedly trading favors with the construction company in exchange for promise of a beachfront apartment.
Mm.
So, you know, there's a back and forth legal following going on there. Venezuela, they have a opposition leader, Nelson Panera.
Mm-hmm.
He's going up against Nicolas Maduro. You know, Maduro's been there for a few years now.
Oh, yeah, he took over after Chavez.
Yep, and this guy, Panera, is part of the center-right, Centurio Guadando.
He ain't never getting in there.
Recently jailed of incitement of hatred.
Hmm. So, well, they don't have the First Amendment over there.
No, they don't. You can go to jail for silly shit like that.
Because basically these dictators are just declaring and decreeing.
Yeah, and here's Cambodia is another country. The opposition leader was convicted of treason over there. Kem Sokha, 27 years in jail.
Wow. So we have something in common with these countries.
Dude, they are going after all these people, their oppositions, just like they are Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dangerous times.
Very dangerous times.
Very dangerous. One more here. The USDA, U.S. Department of Agriculture, Chewy.
Yep.
They are updating their 2024 plant hardiness map. And basically what that is because those are the zones where you can plant cold hardy plants.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also it has to do with planting gardening, like when I mean gardening, like vegetable gardens.
Right.
Which ones you can plant at certain times of the year. And they have a map that they release, and they have like 30-year averages of the winter temperatures. This has to do with winter temperatures.
Right, right, right.
And it's changed because of the earth warming, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
global warming.
Yeah, I mean, it's just warming up a little bit. Every so many hundred years, things change, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
And so
climate change.
So they've changed the map, and here's the map here.
Uh-huh.
So where the green was used to be a lot farther south.
Oh.
And
I see where you're going with this.
And it's moved up now, and a lot of the...
certain plants can't be planted on these farms.
Well, a lot more parts of the south and mid-south and midwest now are staying warmer. So
yep.
Also, they're saying that the... They're doing research models on the spread of exotic weeds and insects and animals because of the warmer winters. This also has to go in play. I brought a couple stories up, a couple podcasts back about alligators being found farther north, remember?
Right, right. Yeah, they found one in the Chicago River a couple years ago, man.
Yeah, so there is things changing.
Sounds like a migration happening.
Yeah, there's a migration happening. So
wow.
Yeah.
So basically, this could affect our food supply.
This could affect.
And it's going to make prices cost even more.
And also, too, it just.
And this time it ain't Joe's fault.
I mean, it's also good, too, because if you want to have azaleas in the wintertime in maybe up in Columbia, South Carolina, or Athens, Georgia, now you can have them.
Right. Right.
So, you know, that's the thing. Things have changed in the USDA planting calendar.
Yeah.
Did you want to do one more? And then I have another one after that.
Sure.
Sure. Go ahead.
These are just a few more quick more and I'll toss it back to you here. Red Lobster is closing 50 stores, laying off thousands as, voters name the economy as a top issue.
Do you think?
Do you think endless shrimp was the culprit here?
Yeah, and it's also demographics, too.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you the last time I've been to Red Lobster, and I really like seafood, but here's the thing. We live in Florida. Matter of fact, we're going to a seafood place tomorrow. But we live in Florida. Why would I go to a corporate chain seafood restaurant when we've got all these seafood restaurants in Florida, around here, in this town? I get the cheddar biscuits are awesome. The food is good. I don't mind it, but... I never crave it because if I'm going to have seafood, I'd rather go to a mom and pop place.
Well, and everything, as usual, it wears itself out. I think Red Lobster had its time and place at one point.
It did. It was pretty popular back in the day.
I think, yeah, I remember it was.
It still kind of is, but I think they got too big for their britches. Endless shrimp ain't really endless, you know?
Yeah.
I'd question the quality of the shrimp at that point. I bet you they're getting them out of farms and not naturally.
And I never seen a lot of people cracking open a lobster there. They were so damn expensive.
Oh, I know. I know. I rarely ever saw anyone get a Red Lobster at Red Lobster. Anyways, how about this? Oreo Special Edition Star Wars cookies are here for your inner Wookiee.
There you go.
Yeah, Oreo has dropped a collaboration with Lucasfilm featuring Special Edition Star Wars sandwich cookies. Fans will be able to buy packs of the classic treat representing either the light side or the dark side of the Force. The fun catch? You won't know which side you've got until you actually open the package. Each pack will feature one to two different color fillings, red for the dark side, and blue for the light side, both infused with the Kyber sugar crystals inspired by the lightsaber courses. The Kyber crystals is what makes the lightsaber work, all that intensity of power. So, that, you know, that sounds like fun if I wasn't doing stupid keto.
I guess if they taste good to me, I mean...
It'll still taste the same. It's just about the colors and playing a little game with your cookies.
I'll look and see if they're around next time I'm at the store and
there
try
you go.
One out.
Yeah, what you got?
Well, I got an exciting story about Dr. Phil.
Oh.
Dr. Phil McGraw.
Okay.
He is a renowned author and television host. Of course. I'm sure everybody.
That is Breakthrough Oprah.
Sure everybody has watched his show before.
Yep.
He has stated that he is starting a premier multi-platform television media called Merritt Street Media.
Yeah.
Or MSM.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a partnership with Trinity Broadcasting. And he says it has American values, provides intelligent news, celebrates achievements. They're advocates for justice. They cherish families and foster inspiration and connections.
That sounds like a good organization.
Yeah, and Dr. Phil has a show actually called Primetime. There are other shows on there. There is Steve Harvey. He has a talk show. There is a news. There is other shows that have different media stars. And it's mainly just an informational network.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about good stuff. And this Thursday, June 6th, one-on-one with Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. I saw an interview set up with him. I didn't realize it was a new show.
Yeah, and it's free on many TV platforms.
Cool. Or as regular people TV, as you'd call it.
Look it up on regular people TV search, and Samsung TV has it, Roku has it, Prime, YouTube TV, Apple TV, they all have it. Check it out. He has a lot of good things to say. I think he's a good author.
He's a good dude.
Good guy. Check him out.
Yeah. Well, we rumored about this before, but now it is confirmed. Happy Gilmore 2 is a go at Netflix. So it'll be a Netflix exclusive. Adam Sandler has a multi-year deal with Netflix. Seems to be working for him.
I can't wait for that show.
So it's a goal. Here's going to make you feel old. From the beloved 1996 golf comedy, Happy Gilmore is underway at Netflix with both original star Adam Sandler set to return. Sandler both starred and co-wrote with Dennis Duggan, directed the original sports comedy, which remains one of the most famous works. In the film, Happy Gilmore is a hockey player with anger management issues who discovers he has a talent to play golf. Happy joins the golf tour circuit to win money to save for his grandmother's house. How nice. He also faces off against an arrogant and golfing pro named Shooter McGavin, played by Christopher McDonald. The supporting cast also includes Julie Bowen, Carl Weathers, rest in peace, and Bob Barker, rest in peace. Well, Christopher McDonald, Shooter, he stirred up talk of a sequel in March, saying Sandler had revealed the first half of the script to him. Well, Netflix has now officially announced that the project is a go, and they're already putting up the money, and it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see.
He still looks kind of the same. So, being 30 years later, I mean, think about it. Right now, we're technically at 28 years later. So what's two more years?
And McDonald looks about the same. You know, they might have a little bit of gray hairs, but they look about the same.
McDonald's looking good. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what kind of plot they have to this and where they're going to go with it. And
I'm sure they're going to be both aging, retiring golf professionals that have been going at each other's throats for the last three decades. And maybe in this final match, they do one more bet or something. And
they go up against each other.
Against each other, get teamed up together, kind of like in the last movie.
Or they have like a student that is going up against their student.
Something like that.
Sure.
We'll see. It'll be fun.
Oh, yeah.
How about a bullet train to Tampa, Pirate?
How about not?
Well, talks of a high-speed railway service to Tampa continue among the city leaders. Many in the area believe that Brightline extension from Orlando to Cigar City is a necessity. Governor Ron Santis remains adamant that Florida taxpayers won't be on the hook to cover the cost, which I'm against. He addressed questions about funding for the service at a press conference in April. So basically, Brightline is a private train company that has built a bullet train from Fort Lauderdale, to Orlando International Airport. However, only one stretch of the track when it goes east and west do they actually open it up to like 130 miles an hour. The rest of it goes through Freightline, so they don't go more than 60 miles, 70 miles an hour. So it's kind of a bullet train. Well, Brightline's have it operating. They're building another bullet train from Vegas to LA. Now they want to extend it to Tampa. However, Disney and Universal is petitioning to have a train stop go through both of their parks, which kind of makes sense. Come to through Lakeland, Brandon, and probably Tampa, since we're on the I-4 corridor here. So to me, as long as it's privately funded, which it still is, go for it.
Yeah.
As soon as the taxes go up. Uh-uh.
Yeah, it's not for me if we're paying for it.
Yeah, because think about it. You're going to pay for the project. Then they're going to charge you to get on their train. That's bullshit.
Yeah, it's double taxation, buddy.
So we'll see. We're still years out from that. So how about this for a shocker? FBI was prepared to use deadly force at the Mar-a-Lago raid on the Trump document case, was ready to shoot at Secret Service agents. This could have led to death and an active shootout. The papers, the news revealed that the orders were to go in armed, just in case. Can you imagine? It was bad enough the president got raided over documents he's allowed to have. Can you imagine if he got in a shootout with Secret Service?
Oh, somebody could have been killed. Trump could have got shot at.
Well, they were also told, the FBI agents who served the warrant, to wear nondescript clothing, nothing with FBI on it. What if Secret Service saw these people as some kind of terrorist group?
Shot them.
You know, you're trying to look sophisticated, but you're not, because you need it to be functional. It could have ended up in a shootout.
What a dangerous position those guys were in.
Ordered from Biden or the DOJ. Not Biden himself. The DOJ.
Well, it's never Biden, but secretly somewhere there's been a memo slipped.
And of course, Biden comes out a couple weeks ago and talks about another assault weapons ban. Well, how about the Secret Service? Why don't they ban their guns first, and we'll go from there, see what happens. You give up your guns, they're fine, sir, and I'll decide what I'm going to do with mine afterwards. You know, and what is an assault weapon?
I don't know.
We've been over this a bunch of times, but yet he let 25 million people into this country, immigrants, illegal immigrants. I think it's time to buy more guns. The gun debate is over when he left 600,000 assault rifles and 100,000 of grenades to the fucking Taliban. Okay? So somebody that left $85 billion worth of military-grade equipment to Afghanistan, to the Taliban, does not get to tell me what I need to do with my semi-automatic rifles. Because that's all they are. I don't have a machine gun, do you?
I wish I did.
Yeah. Well, that'll go ahead and wrap it up for news items and pop culture.
Teens are seeing opportunities, folks, as declining employment trends are reversing.
So how is that? Explain that to me, because I don't fully understand what that means.
Well, says one San Diego State University psychological professor, that the employment's been on the up and up with teens. It's been a strong market out there for people who want to work hard.
Okay.
And so these teens are recognizing this versus the ones before them. And so this is...
You mean in like the work ethic of the typical 20-something-year-old out of college, thinks they're entitled, goes against their first real job in corporate America, and they suck at it.
Exactly.
Okay.
And teens are seeing these opportunities in the labor market due to the labor shortages that have been happening.
Well, good. Maybe the quality of, servicemanship will come up. You know, maybe they won't be so dumb at McDonald's.
Maybe. And they're saying that they're filling these roles, and I believe that they're filling roles that they're either A, qualified at, or I believe a lot of folks are getting jobs that they're not qualified at, but they're giving it to them.
Because they need a body. And they'll train them.
And I remember...
Trainable.
And I remember as a young man, a couple times I got hired a job, I told the folks, I don't have any experience.
Right, I remember those days.
And they told me, look, we'll train you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you a shot.
Yeah, right.
And that's what these kids are looking for, man.
That's awesome.
And following a decline of labor participation rate from the 16 to 19-year-olds, it reached a 14-year high back in March of 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And so, the fact that these kids have been doing this recently is saying that we are getting close to the achieved levels of the teens from the 80s and 90s.
That's good.
Which were in the 60% range back in those days.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember in them.
I remember back in those 80s. All them years ago?
Yeah, I remember everywhere you went, teenagers were working places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as part-time work, even in regular jobs.
I worked part-time junior, senior year. Yeah. Yeah.
And here's another thing that this psychological professor noted, that teens and young adults And I think it's also mainly a lot of young adults. They're taking longer to do all adult things, including going out of the house and dating, drinking alcohol, includes having a paid job, maybe also includes buying and purchasing their first vehicle, getting their driver's license.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe moving out of their parents' home.
All right. That's a good thing.
You know, the workplace behavior also has been a problem with the Gen Z people.
Mm-hmm.
And this was noted by Judge Judy, saying that their behavior was more weighted towards the trophy culture.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, and I know what you mean, the participation trophy. Everybody's a winner.
Yes, everybody's. And so, you know, this professor and Judge Judy, they were explaining that the aspects of their culture benefit each generation when it's applied to a workplace setting. And you know,
well, that's good for them. They're gonna outshine these 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds who feel entitled and feel that they can be on their phone all day when they should be working. You know, those people are out, and they're even seeing another trend where the younger crowd, meaning kids, are actually starting to put their smartphones away more and go outside and talk to people and play and enjoy. Because the one that's pretty consistent, that's always on their phones or always on their iPads, are usually the ones that are having depression issues. You know, so good for these kids, man. Go out there and work hard and learn your skill, learn your trade, get yourself through school.
What they're saying here too is what your long line you're saying is that they're saying that these Gen Zers have a lot of strengths and such as empathy and interest in jobs and helping others.
Yeah, good.
And they're hoping that this also creates an uptick in entrepreneurism.
Mm-hmm.
Because they said back in the 80s and 90s, Gen X, there were a lot of entrepreneurs that come out of that time.
Right.
And they're hoping that this will also, take a stronghold with the Gen Zers.
Yeah.
Start new businesses,
That's an interesting article, man. I'm glad you brought that up. That's cool to hear. It gives me hope. It gives me to say, you know, you and I are getting a little older now. We're not old, but we're getting older. And I hated starting to think like my grandparents, you know, all them damn kids are worthless, blah, blah, blah. You know, I was starting to think like that. But it's nice to see that there are kids out there actually trying to kick some ass, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
really
awesome.
Really good news.
Yeah. Cool. All right, folks, we're at the final part of our show here. But before we go, we have some departing words and the song of the week, though, to give you some context here, is going to be banned in the USA. And it's by a Florida-based rap group called 2 Live Crew that were pretty nasty, but pretty fun at the same time and controversial. But we love them. They're Florida. They were fun. They are gross. I admit that. But, we enjoy them regardless. So something happened to a member today, which Pirate's going to fill us in on.
2 Live Crew rapper Brother Marquise is dead at 58, y'all. And
rest in peace.
My condolences out to him and his family and the 2 Live Crew.
Yeah.
I was a pretty big fan, still am, of these folks. Even though they are as nasty as they want to be.
Yes, they are.
They had some cool music, a little different, but it was great.
Well, they had good beat.
Good beat.
They were funny.
Yep.
But they were nasty.
And it was just fun music for all. That's what I liked. And I will underline all like 5 times. It was never like racist music or nothing. It was just fun party.
Because
music.
Of them, we got the parental advisory explicit lyrics label on the CDs back in the day. You know, they still warn you with the digital, but, did anyone really pay attention to that?
No. So let's talk about Brother Marquise. He was one of the original members, founding members of the crew.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Mr. Mix, DJ David Hobbs, he was named Mr. Mix. He was the guy that did the mixing and DJing.
Okay.
Those were the original founders of the group. And
you forgot about one more. Mr. Luther Campbell.
There's another guy, Wong, Juan.
Yeah.
Christopher Wong Wan.
Yep.
He was also one of the first Asian, black Asian rappers.
Yep.
Those three were the originals. Luther joined
after. Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that Luther Campbell was an original member. Okay.
That's okay. So, Fresh Kid Ice, who was Christopher Wong, he died, and we reported about this a while back.
Yes,
he died in 2017 at age
53. Mm-hmm.
This brother Marquise died at age 58, and they started the crew around 1986.
Okay, okay.
And, yeah.
They made national news, man.
Yeah, they
did. They were on Phil Donahue.
They were, and so yeah, they were a great group. There's only two left in the crew now. So rest in peace, Brother Marquise. Enjoyed your music, my man. And, you know, we're going to play a song for you, brother.
Play a song for you. So yeah, that'll go ahead and wrap up show number 29. We are all over the road with Pirate and Chewbacca. And you can reach us via email at akebonoradio@gmail.com. Go to our website at akebonoradio.com where you can listen to this podcast. The only place you can listen to this podcast. And also look for updates on X and All Over the Road with Pyre and Chewbacca on Facebook. So that's a great show. Hopefully we can get back into rhythm here. I enjoyed this. Pirate, talking as always. Any departing words?
Reach for the stars and have no limitations.
Government of the people, for the people, by the people.
We think it's the banning of free speech, the First Amendment protects material, presumptively.
We don't talk about harassing and sexually brutalizing women in my music, man. We don't do that in my music, man. I'm tired of you saying that.
We've got white collar people trying to grab our style, saying we're too nasty and we're too live. Corrupted politicians playing games, bringing us down to boost their fame. They must be joking, thinking we were poor, but they're like flies moving the wall. We stand tall from beginning to end, with help from fans and all our friends. Freedom of speech will never die, for us to have our ancestors died. Don't keep thinking that we will quit, we'll always stand and never sit. We're too live, too black, too strong, doing the right thing and not the wrong. So listen up, y'all, to what we say. We won't be banned in the USA. Your brother get as rich as you. This is the 90s and we're coming on strong, saying things and doing things that you're saying's wrong. Wising up, cause on election day we'll see who's banned in the USA.
In my house is my business, and it's simple. however you want to, and even the Two Live Crew. So all you right-wingers, left-wingers, bigots, communists, there is a place for you in this world, because this is the land of the free, the home of the brave, and Two Live is what we are.